Well, good evening.
Good evening.
I think we're all on tenterhooks somewhat, but how nice to be able to come and sit on a night like this. Let's do introductions around.
Okay, Wendy.
Yeah.
Vicky.
Ron.
Ellie.
Oh. Jeffrey.
Nico.
Karin.
Nice to see you all. You been here before?
No.
Welcome. You came with Yelp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of quiet. Mostly quiet, but now we talk a little bit. And we're talking out of this book. These were talks that were given on a platform that was created just for the talks. somewhere in very, very South China. That place is still there. And it's still remembered as the place where the platform was and where this teaching was given, even though it was a very, very ancient time. We've come to number 23. Yes, we did repentance, didn't we? Unless we free ourselves of the past, we can never free ourselves of the future. And unless we free ourselves of the future, we can never free ourselves of the present. And Buddhas need to be free. That was in the last chapter. So how do we free ourselves? Yinyang says, "Good friends, now that we have finished with repentance, I will transmit to you the formless precepts of the Triple Refuge." And he has very funny wording with this. We take refuge in enlightenment and the best of two-legged creatures. We take refuge in truth and the best of what transcends desire. We take refuge in purity and the best of congregations. So usually we say, I take refuge in Buddha and Dharma and Sangha. So the best two-legged creatures, I guess, is Buddha. And the best of what transcends desire is the truth, or Dharma. And purity is the best of all of us. It's the congregation. How we come together in this way as Buddha and truth. He said, beginning today, call the Buddha your teacher. Never again take refuge in the mistaken teachings of other paths. And may you experience the compassion of your own three treasures, your own Buddha Dharma Sangha. May you experience the compassion of your own triple treasure. You know, the very last precept that we recite is no abusing the three treasures. And it means don't abuse yourself. That you yourself are the most precious thing. So may you experience the compassion of it. I urge urge you all to take refuge in the three treasures of your own nature, wherein Buddha means enlightenment, Dharma means truth, and Sangha means purity. Take refuge in the enlightenment of your own minds. Those whose delusions do not arise, who have few desires and who know contentment, who are free from wealth and sex, they're called the best of two-legged creatures. Take refuge in the truth of your own minds. When your thoughts are free from delusions, you are therefore free from attachment. And freedom from attachment is called the best of what transcends desire. Take refuge in the purity of your own minds. No matter how many afflictions and delusions are present in your nature, because your nature remains uncorrupted, this is the best of congregations. Ordinary people don't understand this. Day after day, they recite the precepts of the triple refuge, but when they say they take refuge in the Buddha, where's the Buddha? If they don't see the Buddha, they aren't taking refuge in anything. And if they aren't taking refuge in anything, their words are false. Good friends, each of you should examine this for yourself. Don't misdirect your attention. The sutras only say to take refuge in the Buddha of yourselves. They don't say to take refuge in some other Buddha. If you don't take refuge in your own nature, there's no other place of refuge. So, although this is Buddha's teaching, it also sounds quite radical in the way that he throws it at us in a kind of in a way that makes us look at ourselves and not look at some Buddha figure in our mind or some Buddha idea that we have about how, what enlightenment is or what an enlightened person would be, but to sit down with ourselves and really see clearly, in spite of all the mess that we are, all the confusion and the delusions that we know we have, and for which we feel a kind of embarrassment and shame often, that reality is that we're it. And in one sense, we're the only it. That's what's so strange about this. Because really, we're born alone, we die alone, and we live through our life alone. We do it in company, with companionship, in congregation with everyone. This is one side. It's a side that we're many times more convinced of and experienced in than the other side, that we're totally connected with everything else. We feel our aloneness as loneliness. And lonely means this feeling of separation, that we're far, far apart from everything else. But he's pointing to the place in us that is connected to everything. The so-called enlightenment place in us is the same for everyone. And if we can see that in others, suddenly we're not alone anymore. So learning how to deal with our delusions and our afflictions, as he says, our activity in our practice, and learning to have compassion for ourselves is crucial. As he says, if we don't, it's a waste of time, really. We're just ginning up some kind of new idea, some kind of new illusion. To really understand our aloneness, our solitude, we're the only one looking out of our eyes. We're the only one thinking our thoughts. There's nobody else. And in many ways, nobody can understand us. And we can't really understand other people either. And yet there's some kind of common denominator that runs through everything. It runs through the tulips and the butterflies and the motorcycles and everything that we know and experience. So this serious practice of repenting and then taking these precepts of the best of two-legged creatures, the best of what transcends desire, and the best of congregations, to take refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. So that's why when we do this ceremony, we don't say, I take refuge. We say, return to Buddha. We don't even say, I. Because in the original, it doesn't say I. There isn't any. In any of the precepts, you don't say, I vow not to kill. You just say, vowing no killing. Vowing no lying. Now, vowing no stealing. So in this sense, we say, return to Buddha. Return to Dharma. Return to Sangha. It means return to our basic oneness. But as I said last week, alone means all one. That's the basic meaning in the dictionary. All one is the meaning of alone. And so that's the experience. If we're willing to experience our aloneness and really with compassion for ourselves as well as with a clear eye, that sense of aloneness turns into all one. We can feel it. So Coben didn't have much to say about this. Red Pine has a little bit. He says, through repentance, we wipe out our karmic slate clean of attachments and delusions and are now ready to set forth on the bodhisattva path. He says, this section concludes Weinang's transmission of the formless precepts, which was one of the two reasons for these people to come together on the around the platform. The other reason being an explanation of the teachings of Prajnaparamita, on which the formless precepts are based and which follows his discussion of Prajnaparamita, of wisdom. because wisdom, prajna, is the basis of his teaching. And it's the basis of what he's pointing to already in these reciting of the precepts, the formless precepts. Red Pine says, the Bodhisattva path of the Mahayana Buddhism differs from the Shravaka path of Hinayana Buddhism in that Shravakas seek nirvana while Bodhisattvas seek enlightenment. By attaining nirvana, Shravakas put an end to passion and rebirth. But by attaining enlightenment, Bodhisattvas are able to liberate themselves and others as well. Thus, Li Neng leads his audience to take refuge in enlightenment, in the realization of enlightenment, in enlightenment itself, and in the manifestation of enlightenment. These are the three treasures of our own nature. They are the true jewels. We all have them, but we need to look for them. And looking for them outside ourselves is a waste of time. So, he goes on to talk about Mahaprajna Paramita, but I think I'll wait until next time, because Koban does have things to say about this. Though on the other hand, he said, now that you've finished taking refuge, each of you should clear your mind and I will convey to you the teaching of Mahaprajna Paramita. Good friends, you may have chanted this without understanding it, but if you listen, I'll explain it. Mahaprajna Paramita is Sanskrit. In our language, it means the great wisdom that leads to the other shore. This teaching must be practiced and not simply chanted with your mouth. If you chant it with your mouth but don't practice it, it's like an illusion or a mirage. But the Dharma body of those who practice it is the same as a Buddha's. What does maha mean? Maha means great. The capacity of the mind is so great, it's like space. But if you practice empty mind Zen, you will fall into a featureless void. In this world of ours, space has room for the sun and the moon and the stars, the earth and its mountains and rivers, every plant, every tree, and bad people and good people, and bad teachings and good teachings, and heavens and hells. All of this exists in space. The emptiness of our nature is also like this. So that's the whole of number 24. And Red Pine points out that in the Diamond Sutra, Buddha says, all created things are like a dream, an illusion, a bubble, a shadow, like dew or like lightning. View everything like this. In other words, practicing it, you can't leave anything out. You can't leave out the things you don't like and just put in the things you do. I mean, you can, but it's 1,000,000,000 miles from the truth of things, from the truth of your own mind and your own life and your living. We include multitudes, as Walt Whitman said. Walt Whitman knew these things. Many people have. It's not just a Buddhist thing. we contain multitudes. So don't sit trying to get rid of your thoughts. Don't sit trying to wipe out everything and get into some zone. There isn't any zone. There isn't any. It's just you. Just you. Your own self. So, are there questions? Karen, you have a few.
A few questions.
Yeah, of course.
Well, they're just kind of, did I understand this right? So when he says empty mind, don't practice empty mind, this is sort of an artificial, you're trying to stop my thinking this, or
yes.
Something like that.
Okay. Yes.
And then the formless precepts mm-hmm. are the same as the triple treasures.
Yes.
That's
yes.
Part. And they're just a subset of 16 precepts.
Well, they're the ones you take before you take the 16 precepts. I mean, they're part of the 16 precepts, but they're the ones you take before you take the precepts.
Okay.
If you can understand.
That was the underlying.
Yeah.
T.
Yeah, there are 10 at the end and 3 before then, and then the refuges.
Okay.
And then it starts with the repentance.
Right. Okay.
So you have to sort of clear your mind and admit your helplessness, and then take refuge. And then you can take the precepts. The three precepts are embracing and sustaining right conduct, embracing and sustaining every good, embracing and sustaining all beings. This is Coben's translation also. Which?
Conduct. Embracing right conduct.
All. Embracing.
All beings.
Right conduct.
Oh, sorry,
I guess do it. Embracing and sustaining right conduct, embracing and sustaining every good.
Every
good. Embracing and sustaining all beings. Yeah.
Okay. And one more question I have. This is, I'm probably going to just answer this myself, but we're saying the triple treasures are inside us.
Mm-hmm.
And for then I was like, how could a Sangha be inside us? Because isn't the point of coming here is Sangha. But then I thought that's where we realize our true connection.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Aren't we lucky?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Paul?
How does he make the distinction between nirvana and enlightenment?
Nirvana is being snuffed out. It's the in order to in the Shravaka practice, the whole idea is to how can I say, when you cross over to the other shore, you have turned out your light and attained. I don't know how it works exactly, because it seems like a big contradiction to Buddha's teaching, but that's the idea. It's called Ajahn Sumirav has written a long thing about attaining nirvana, but it means becoming so pure and perfect, so shed of every delusion, every bad thing, that you just disappear. And you don't have to come back. You never, never have to come back. So that was the difference between the Soho, the Mahayana and the Hinayana. The Hinayana doesn't want it. That whole idea is to get so pure and perfect that you never come back to this Saha world. And in Mahayana, people in that practice began to wonder about, what about other people? And began to think, well, maybe this is kind of a selfish practice. And maybe this isn't really what it means, what Buddha means. So slowly it began to develop. And in ancient India, they practiced together, the Shravakas and the Bodhisattva people, and sort of exchanged ideas. And then there were many different schools. But that's how it became a completely different kind of, even now, it's a different sort of attitude toward practice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Is it ever possible to just check out the existence of the Bodhisattva, supposedly chooses that path of, you know, continuing?
Yes.
Continue on in order to save all sentient beings.
Exactly.
Is it, there any case where a Bodhisattva would say, well, okay. Probably not.
I don't know, Ron.
I'm just wondering.
I think Buddha talked about it, and it's something we all need to understand and realize, that in our mind are two intentions, and one of them is to embrace life. And the other is to want to get the hell out of here. And everybody has it. And a lot of people don't realize that it's just inherent in our nature to have these desires. And Buddha said you have to learn that they're there and know what to do with them. As you have to know what to do with all the things that arise in our mind. Not just go this way and then go that way and be dragged around by our thinking, but really sit down and be with it and see clearly what it means. And then in the Bodhisattva tradition, we take a vow just to keep ourselves held in place with our intention. And the intention is, if there is a coming back, and we don't know, we'll come back and go through this whole thing all over again, as long as it takes. Yeah. Which changes our attitude toward our present day life, which is why I think it's a very valuable notion that if we can't just get exasperated and think, oh, I want out of here, but think, oh, I'm really exasperated now. I better take care of this. And just stay focused. Not be dragged around. Yeah, it's a very good question.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
That's a very good answer. It reminds me of another story that I won't tell right now.
Okay.
Don't forget it.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. The story is actually about a book I read. It's called Michelangelo and Robin's Book. It's written by a Polish woman. Got put there. And but she's a Catholic. She was a Catholic. She was the artist. But, she's a Bodhisattva.
Mm-hmm.
A Bodhisattva in her own way. For all the things she did, too.
Yes.
So, people who were undergoing suffering that you simply could not comprehend.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the job. If you want to call it a job or a joy. You could call it a joy also. So, is time?
Yes. This Saturday we have baptism. 9 to 12. So if you have some time free, come sit with us. Do we have an opener scheduled?
I can open this Saturday, but I wanted to say that I may have difficulty being here for the next few Wednesdays, and may need to relinquish, or perhaps should relinquish, my keys for, you know, those weeks, just so some people can meet with Jeffrey. If anybody would like a key.
Oh, so you aren't going to be able to open?
Well, I can't be sure. This was supposed to be my week. I came late. Thank you for covering. But the next few weeks might be difficult.
Mm. Well, yeah, you can give me your key if you want. We can work it out.
We'll work it out. But I can come Saturday early.
Okay.
One year to open this.
I want to thank Jeffrey for his beautiful flowers. I just enjoy them all day, every day. And I just needed to say that. Thank you.
It just comes out of that ground.
I know, it's amazing. Well, shall we find out?
Oh, no.
Can we just stay here?
We have to close. We have to close first, but after we close.
It was pretty close last time I checked. Yeah, no, but I think it's too early to know.
All right. 1 minute, sit.